This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're on our theme of heart to heart for this year, and today I'm looking particularly at grasping God's heart, trying to understand his heart for justice. That's what we're looking at. And my headline for today is God promises justice. God promises justice, and we're going to look at that. We're going to be examining, once again, we're going to be into Isaiah chapter 9. So if you want to find that in your Bibles, on your devices, wherever it is, Isaiah chapter 9, the first seven verses, in fact. Last week, I talked about how when justice is denied, when the poor go hungry, when the orphans are abandoned and the weak are not defended, when the foreigner is abused, when other gods of desire and greed are worshipped, when our sexual ethics have no boundaries, these are the signs of an unjust society. And when God sees that, he turns his face away, he switches off the light, he allows the darkness to come, because God hates injustice. Thankfully, God does not turn away forever. He promises to restore justice and righteousness, and he brings light and salvation. He ends violence, and he releases the oppressed. Now, before I get onto that, you should be aware that there's been an inauguration this week of a new president for the United States. And one of the quirks of the American electoral system is that they have their election in November, but they don't inaugurate the president until January the 20th, usually. And there's this gap in between, unlike in the UK, where it all happens in 24 hours, pretty much. So in the US, you have this strange in-between time when everybody knows there's going to be a new president in just a few weeks' time. But until January the 20th, the old president still exercises power. But in the meantime, the president-elect's influence is beginning to be felt, seen from time to time. And that's not unlike the now and not yet of the kingdom. This is a theological tenet for the Vineyard, which is something that we base a lot of our thinking on, about the kingdom and the now and the not yet, this tension between. We know the king is coming and will inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth. And yet we experience the influence and the impact of the old king, the defeated ruler of this world. We experience that in a measure today. So when I say God promises justice, my theme for today, my topic for today, do I mean that one day in the future, God will bring justice and it'll be done? Or do I mean that we experience God's justice now? I think the Bible means both. There is a promise of the kingdom to come, and there is the experience of God's kingdom now. We experience the work of the enemy now, but we know the enemy is defeated and that the end will come. It might be in a year's time. It might be next week. It might be today. When Jesus died and rose from the grave and he defeated the power of death, he invites us into his righteousness, into being restored into a relationship with our Creator God, our Maker. And when we are restored to him and that righteousness is imputed to us, justice flows now and the promises for the future. So we are fasting and praying, and we fast and pray, come Holy Spirit, let there be on earth as it is in heaven today. Lord, extend your kingdom among us and through us. So as we read Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to look out for two things. I want you to look out for this now and the not yet. This, the visibility of the now, what we see God doing right now, but also the promise and the signpost that we have for the kingdom to come, the promise of justice. And the other thing I want you to look out for is that all the activity is on God's side. I'll come back to that. Read Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 1. I don't think we'll get to verse 9, but we'll start at verse 1. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. That was last week's theme, the distress and the gloom. Verse 2, the people walking in that darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and he's given it to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So that passage started with the people in the darkness walking and seeing a great light. And whereas they were walking, and the word implies living out their lives in darkness and distress, now they are walking, living out their lives, blinking in the light and in shalom, in well-being and in peace. The passage ends, verse 7, with the mighty monarch coming, a leader who will lift them out of oppression and war and establish an eternal kingdom, bringing justice and righteousness. So verse 7 describes that future day. Verse 3 describes the people who are joyful now. Wouldn't we love to be a joyful nation now? Wouldn't we love to be full of joy now, today? How can they go from being in the gloom and distress to rejoicing? How do they make that transition? It's because their fears have been addressed in the now. Some of our fears are not just for our souls, but they are for our bodies. They're very practical. And here in this passage, in verse 3, God has addressed three very practical fears. And here, justice may come in a supernatural form, but the result is very natural. Let's look at that. Verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. There's that joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. He's dealt with the fear of death, of being wiped out, of losing many people, being reduced to a remnant. Does that fear sound familiar these days? But as a result of God's promised justice, the population is increasing. You have enlarged the nation, he says. Secondly, he says, the fear of hunger and poverty through economic disaster is addressed. The fear of hunger and poverty through economic disaster. Does that sound familiar? We're just talking about food banks and people losing their jobs. But as a result of God bringing justice, the people are rejoicing at the harvest. The third thing he defeats, the fear he defeats, is the defeat of war, of violence against us. Does that sound familiar? When there's talk of raising the terrorist threat level, or when you dare not walk through parts of town at night. But as a result of God bringing justice, the people here are rejoicing at the plunder from the victory over the enemy. There's no more war. When our relationship with God is restored, put right, good things happen. Remember, all the activity is on God's part. He forgives us. He has mercy on us. We don't deserve it. It's called grace. And so for Israel in this passage, and we're meant to understand this applying to us, God has dealt with three natural fears by doing supernatural things. And these have brought about justice. He's ended oppression. He's defeated the enemy. And he has raised up a savior. That's how he has dealt with the fears. Ended oppression, defeated the enemy, raised the Savior. So let's look at those quickly. Number one, in verse 4, where he talks about shattering the yoke that burdens them. God has ended oppression. And then in verse 5, he says, every warrior's boot is burned, the one used in battle. God has defeated the enemy. He says, every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, it'll be destined for burning, fuel for the fire. The war's over and won. He has defeated the enemy. And it's the picture of the end of war and violence. And, you know, Isaiah talks, you'll be familiar with other passages, the lion and the lamb lies down with the lamb, the turning of swords into plows. It's not just the physical enemy he deals with, but a spiritual enemy, the evil one behind all war and violence. And then the third one is that he raises up a savior in verse 6, and we'll look at that next week. I want to go back to verse 4. God has ended oppression. It says this, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This language, the yoke, the bar, the rod, is language often used to describe oppression of the people of Israel by various other nations, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and sadly also their own leaders through corruption and abuse. It's a recurring theme, that oppression and that rod. And you may remember that Jesus uses a similar metaphor, the same metaphor, really. He's drawing on the same thinking, but he describes a very different yoke. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Very different. Same yoke, different result. When we come to Jesus and receive forgiveness for our sins through his merciful sacrifice for us, when we choose to follow him and make him our master, the burden is lifted, the yoke is light. Now today, some of you are carrying a difficult yoke and a heavy burden. You can feel the bar across your shoulders. I just want to spend some time on this. This yoke that burdens, are you the feeling behind this phrase, and I think this may be some of you, is feeling you're suffering, you're enduring suffering, you're feeling at a disadvantage, you have long-term illness perhaps, or abandonment, you are grieving loss, it's a toilsome life. Is that your yoke? Is that a burden for you that weigh heavily? Or is it the bar across the shoulders? And the picture there is of being beaten by sticks. Are you a victim of violence and oppression? Are you being beaten? Are you being punished? Are you being bullied? The third one, the rod of the oppressor, there is the picture of the hostility of a taskmaster. Somebody untrustworthy and corrupt leading you. Denying you your rights, unjust treatment. Is that your situation today? Can you feel the yoke of suffering or the stick of violence or the rod of the tyrant? If so, this is the work of the evil one, the enemy. And today's message is that the good, sovereign God who loves you, the one of who created the universe, will intervene supernaturally to restore justice and creation, not just in full on the day when he inaugurates a new creation, but today, now, he wants to intervene in your life. He is an imminent God. And this is made possible through our Savior. Jesus came to die for us, and he raised him from the dead. And when we believe in him, and are clothed in that righteousness through his grace, justice can come. It's his promise. Let me wrap up. Another day, we will talk about what we need to do to turn righteousness into justice. We will have those discussions. But today, it's about grasping God's heart for you and his promise of justice for you. I want you to understand that all the activity is on his side. He is doing this for you. He loves you. He has grace for you. He does the saving work of redemption. He offers us undeserved favor, grace. He gives us forgiveness and a way back to him. It is our good and all-powerful God who brings the harvest of new seasons, who brings joy in the light of a new day. It's God who brings light into the darkness, who confronts your fears, and who sets you free from oppression and defeats the enemy. Brothers and sisters, God promises justice. Let's pray into that for a bit, shall we? I want to pray about the yoke that burdens, that suffering that's endured, the bar across the shoulders of being a victim of oppression and violence, of the rod of the oppressor, the personal hostility of somebody to you. Now, Jesus walked your path, if that's you. He suffered, he was beaten and treated incredibly unjustly. He ultimately dies on the cross for you and for me. He took that yoke, that bar, that rod on his shoulders, so that when we follow him, our yoke and our burden is light. So let's pray. If that's you, I just want you to turn to him today, now, and invite him to come and give you his yoke. This will be the most important thing you do in your life if you choose to go to him and to follow him. So let's pray. I'm just going to pray. If you want to pray along with me, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you maybe have people around you, maybe on your own. Just allow this moment for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you, for the God who loves you to reach to you. Lord Jesus, I come to you with the rod on my back, with the burden I carry, with that yoke. And I repent of doing things my own way. I repent of placing me at the center of my universe. I repent of allowing things to come between you and me. I receive your Holy Spirit into my life. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you so much for intervening to save me. I take my burdens, my rod, the yoke, and I place it at the foot of the cross. I receive your forgiveness. And I choose to step into the light and walk forward following you.